Hi, my name is Rob Weeb, and this is my wife, Sai. We've been missionaries with YWAM for over 20 years, and today we're going to share God's heart for our generation, which is to end Bible poverty now. So, what is Bible poverty?
So, poverty is when you have a lack of something that you need. So, when we talk about poverty financially, it's lack of finances. When we talk about poverty in relationships, it's a lack of relationships. And the same with education, it's a lack of education. So, when we say Bible poverty is lack of Bibles. And our vision is we want to see the entire Bible in every heart language made available in the appropriate format to every individual on earth by 2033. Why 2033? Because that year marks the 2000-year anniversary of Jesus' death on the cross. And this is an effort that is not just from YWAM, but various Christians organizations are joining together. We have SIL, Wycliffe, The Sick Company, the Jesus Film Project, Faith Comes by Hearing, United Bible Societies, Operation Mobilization, and many others joining together in this effort. So these are the action steps that we take to end Bible poverty. We pray, we work on translation, we work in publishing the Bible, distribute, we educate, and we motivate.
So me and Sai really started off our mission journey in the areas of education and motivation. We planted a school of biblical studies in Thailand, and over the years, we began to see lots of people train, dozens of people going through our schools. In 2014 is when I really started a journey of talking to God about we're reaching dozens of people, but how do we reach an entire nation? How do we end Bible poverty for them? And my question as I'm walking up and down the streets talking to God is, God, how can I help? What can I do to help end Bible poverty in Thailand? The first part that I've started to focus on in the Ending Bible Poverty Now vision is the idea of an appropriate format. So if we're going to present the Bible to Thai people, what is the appropriate format for them? So what's an appropriate format for me may not be the same for my son. What's appropriate in Canada is not the same in Thailand. So as I was seeking the Lord, I was asking, what's the appropriate format? So there's four major formats that we have. The first one is print, the second one audio, the other one video, and finally digital. So as I thought about Thailand, the Thai people are about 95% or more literate. So everyone can read, but they're a real oral learning culture. So how could we marry a print Bible that could be read with an oral learning culture? And it's at this time that I discovered the SourceView Bible. The SourceView Bible is a Bible that's presented in a dramatic narrative in a script form, and it shows who is speaking. So the black text is the narrator, the red text is God, the green text is the main character in a given book, and the blue text is everybody else. And the idea is not that you would read it by yourself, but that you would get together with three other people and you would read the Bible out loud, each one choosing a color and reading their part out loud. And as I thought about how to present this Bible in the print form, I was thinking, how do I motivate the Thai people to actually get together and to read it together, which fits really well into their culture? And that's where we came up with the design of four different color covers. So each cover represents the color in the text. And on the back, it has three simple instructions. It says, get together with others. Each person chooses a color and reads that part out loud. And finally, there are four questions that they can ask to help understand and apply the Word of God. So after we published this Bible in partnership with a Bible translation couple in Thailand, we were surprised that the people actually used it. And there were kids that were reading the Bible together in schools. There were adults reading together in restaurants and in homes. And there's one really cool story that we want to share.
Yeah, we have a group of friends that work in the red light district in Bangkok. And one day, our friend decided to grab this Bible, sit in a public table where everybody's passing by. And we're talking homeless people, prostitutes, the people that live in the red district life. Section, and he sat there with his Bibles and he started reading. And all of a sudden, one person shows up, starts reading with him, and they are reading this out loud. And at some point there are four people reading, and he's like, well, I have to go, and nobody wants to leave. And so he keeps reading with these people, and all of a sudden one homeless guy has to leave and another person joins. So this went on for 3 hours. And our friend discovered, wow, Thai people really, really like this. And you have homeless people and prostitutes reading out loud the word of God in the red light district. And now these Bibles are part of their church planting program. This is something that they use continually.
So another part of the vision is making the Bible available to every individual. So as I was praying about it, we have a Bible that we published, and now we're thinking, how are we going to make it available? And as I was praying, God began to show me a vision for what could happen in Thailand. And we called it Share Bibles. And the vision is one Bible for every home, one Bible for every student, and one set of those four Bibles for every Buddhist temple.
One cool story that comes out of this times of distribution in Thailand, I always like sharing this, is one of our friends, Feng. She was one of these girls that received a Bible in a school. So one of our teams went to the school, gave Bible to each kid, and she was one of them in the school. And one day, Rob and me are sitting in the back of our church, and all of a sudden, this girl that we don't know starts up, and she's sharing her testimony, how a group of people came into her school and gave her a book. And she started reading this book, and through it, it had the four Gospels, and through it, she discovered Jesus. And she believed in Jesus, and then she started thinking, well, I need to find all the people that believe in Jesus. I want to grow. I want to get to know him. And she came to our church. And with us knowing, she's going through these youth groups and Bible studies. And that Sunday, she was giving her testimony, and she was going to get baptized. And you can see in the picture, she is getting baptized this Sunday. And it was through a random team that came to the school and gave her a Bible. Nobody preached to her. She was just reading through the Bible. And as this, we have many other stories of people encountering Jesus through the Bible.
So as we would receive teams, I remember the first team, we would go out, we did 2 weeks of distribution, and they'd be carrying a piece of paper, and they would write down the address, and they would write down how many Bibles they gave to that home. And after 2 weeks, and it was rainy, and so they would come back with all broken papers and descriptions of where they gave the Bibles. And I remember reading, you know, the first time it was like house number this and this many Bibles. And then there were houses that didn't have numbers. So they would say, well, it's the big blue house. And then there were lots of blue houses. So they said, okay, this is the blue house with the red gate. And there were lots of blue houses with red gates. And so they said, the blue house with the red gate with the angry dog. And they were so frustrated with how they were recording the Bible distribution that they said, Rob, you need to build an app for the phone. And I laughed and I said, I'm a missionary. That's not what I do. And we just kept going. The next team came a few months later. They experienced the same frustration. Mm-hmm. And they said again, Rob, you need to build an app. And then the third team came and they had the same thing. And they said, Rob, you need to build an app. And I was like, God, is this really you? And I started to the journey of looking, what does it look like to build an app? I've never done that before. And I connected in with a group called Faith Tech, which are Christians that are in the tech industry. And a lot of them are professionals, and they donate a few hours of their days to help build kingdom tools. And as I shared our vision and our experience, there was one guy especially who jumped on. He said, you know what, I'm going to help you build an app to track Bible distribution. So this app is called Share Bibles, and it's been years of growing and learning. About 3 years ago, we published the first version of the app, and we started recording Bible distribution. And here you can see the statistics for July and backwards about 3 years. We've distributed, or I should say, we've recorded Bible distribution of 100,000 plus Bibles in 24 different countries. You can see the countries on the map. And you can see that we drop pins at every home using GPS location. So the idea is to record where we've gone for the sake of knowing where we still need to go. So when someone rejects a Bible, we can mark it. If someone's not home and we don't leave a Bible, we can mark it with the intention of going back and giving them another opportunity to receive God's word. In 2018, in September, there was a large YWAM conference in Pattaya, Thailand. And because it was in Thailand and I was pioneering a Bible distribution ministry there, they said, Rob, in the middle of our conference, we're going to do an outreach day. And on this outreach day, we want to be able to distribute 100,000 Gospels of Luke. And I was blown away by that vision, but I was challenged in my heart to go, yeah, we need to do this and we can do it. But as they were sharing this whole idea of the Gospel of Luke, one side of me was getting really excited because it's cheaper to print one gospel and raising the funds for that money wouldn't have been so challenging. But on the other side, I was heavy in my heart going, it's not enough to give them just the Gospel of Luke. We need to give them the whole Bible. When we give them the Gospel of Luke, they get the God of Luke. But when we give them the whole Bible, they get the God of the whole Bible. And so my heart was heavy going, how are we going to give them a Bible when we're only distributing the Gospel of Luke? And it was in this process of praying, going, God, how can I give them more, that I realized at the back of the book, we could include links and information that would equip them to get audio Bibles. It would equip them to see the Jesus film in the four major dialects of Thai. And it would also allow them to access the entire Bible online. Now, we were giving out the Source View Bible, and it would be a little weird for them to go online and not have those colors. And so I was like, God, how are we going to get the Source View Bible online? And what could we do in such a way that the person who sees it online would be empowered not only to read it, but to understand it and apply it? And as I was seeking out these things and designing the ideas that I had in my head, people just couldn't help. And I kept running into dead ends. And I'm asking God, God, how are we going to build this? We need to get it out there. And God said, you do it. I said, God, I'm not a coder. I'm not a developer. How am I going to do that? He said, you do it. You learn. You can do it. And so that began a journey, really, of spending hours and hours using tutorials on the internet, learning how to build a website in order to get God's word available for the Thai people. And from this transition of the slide to the next, really represents a two-year process of learning and designing and building, failing and succeeding. But it leads us to a tool that is called the Source View Bible Reader. And this presents the whole Word of God in the four-color format of the Source View Bible. It divides the Bible into natural segments, 365 unique segments, one for every day of the year. Each segment can be read in about 10 to 15 minutes. And at the end of the segment, we have four questions that help people to understand what they've read and apply it to their lives.
So at this conference in Thailand, we're talking 5,000 people from many nations in the world. And they start seeing this tool and how Thai people are engaging. And they want it. They want it in their own language. They start asking, so how can we do this in our language? And that's how we went from developing tools for Thais into thinking, okay, how do we do it for the whole world? Same with the Share Bibles app. We started just distributing Bibles in Thailand, but how do we do it for the whole world? And as of right now, we have this Bible reader in these different languages. We have German, English, Spanish, French, Portuguese, Arabic, Thai. We have two versions of Chinese, and we have Korean. And we have many more knocking on the door saying, we want to do this. As a matter of fact, Wycliffe and Tyndale and Biblica has just put in our hands about 1,000 languages, versions of the Bible in which we can, they want this format into their Bibles.
Mm-hmm. So one really cool thing that happened just last week, I got a message from my friend in Brazil. And he said, there's an event that they have every year, and they gather over 1,000 youth pastors and about 40,000 youth from around the nation. And they do a training event on all things evangelism and Great Commission activity. And he said, we are going to take this Source View Bible Reader in Portuguese, and we are going to train these 1,000 pastors and their youth groups to engage with God in this discipleship tool. Getting people together in groups of four, reading the Bible text out loud, and then going through the questions together. He also said, there's a vision to get a Bible into every home in Brazil, and we're going to use the Share Bibles app to distribute it all over the nation.
Is actually they're projecting to have 4,000 people reading the Bible in this format at once. So another part of our vision is we want the Bible to be in every heart language. And currently there are nearly 2,000 languages that have no Bible. They are Bible-less.
So as we were thinking about like, okay, we've done stuff in English, we've done stuff in Thai, we're working with Portuguese and other languages, but God, how can I help these 2,000 languages? Is there something that I can do? I'm not a Bible translator, but is there something I can do to help get this started? And I was in a meeting with Lauren Cunningham, the founder of Youth with a Mission, and Paul Eshelman, who is the finishing the task. And they were talking about getting these Bible-less languages started with translation. And I remember Lauren so strongly, he says, we can't finish anything that we haven't started. We need to start, and we need to get one verse translated into that mother tongue. And his heart was really to get God is love. And as he was sharing that, and he shares it with translation agencies, they said, Lauren, that's one of the hardest verses to translate because the word God means so many different things. And the word love, it never means the kind of love that God has. And there's so many different ways that it can be done. And I remember being in one of those meetings and I turned to my friend beside me and I said, wouldn't it be so funny if we did Jesus Wept? And the guy laughed. And as he laughed, the rest of the meeting was turned their attention to me. And they're like, what did you guys just say? And I shared my joke. I was like, oh, we should do Jesus Wept. It'd be a whole lot easier. And everyone laughed. But what happened was the translators went away and they said, you know what? That would actually be the easiest verse to translate because Jesus is a name and Jesus wept is a crying, and so every language has the word for cry. And as a joke, it turned out to be a method of translation. And so in these discussions, how are we going to start these translations? I said, well, why don't we put an app on the phone, and anyone with a phone who's next to a mother tongue speaker of those languages can just record Bible, record the Bible verse, God is love, or Jesus wept. And they said, oh, yeah, that would be really good. Rob, you should do that. And I was like, God, is that really you? But that started the journey of another application we put on the phone, and it's called Start Bibles. And it records the very first Bible verse in a Bible-less language and made available to these people.
So this is one of my favorite stories of late. Ending Bible Poverty team is with a meeting in Nepal. And as they are discussing these Bible-less languages, Nepal has some languages on that list. And the person in Nepal is reading the list as they are in the meeting through Zoom. He's reading the list and he says, wait a minute, I know someone who speaks this language, Mughali. And as they're in the meeting, this Nepali guy is texting his friend who can speak Mughali. And saying, hey, would you be willing to, you know, translate this first verses of the Bible, which is Jesus wept and God is love. And the guy is like, yeah. So right in that meeting, it was during the 60th year of YWAM, and it was a big celebration and a big push for ending Bible poverty. So right in that meeting, this guy who speaks Mughali, he translated these two verses. And so for the first time in history, the Mughali people could hear the Bible in their mother tongue. Hmm. God is love. And you can see the translation here in the picture. God is love. And I always have this picture of, yes, we get excited. We're making history. For the first time, these people are hearing a portion of the Word of God in their mother tongue. And I get excited. And I get so happy for God for what is happening. But then I start having this image of God, you know, jumping up and down. It's like my people that I created are hearing my word that is destined for them. They're hearing my word in their mother tongue. And I just imagine God being so excited about this whole process. And it's so simple. It was just a phone call and something started. So over the years, God has put us in a position where we've been able to work in each area of ending Bible poverty. Pray. You have heard Rob's stories about him. God, how can we do this? How can we present the Bible? How can we create tools? And there's been a lot of prayer into God, how do you want to do it? And what do you want to do? And in the translation, we don't translate the Bible, but we are creating tools that help people with the Start Bible app. And it's not only the Mugali story. There are other stories of people starting to record the Bible in these Bible-less languages. And publishing, without us knowing this whole big picture of ending Bible poverty, we started in Thailand. And it was huge for us. God, how can we give Bible to everyone in Thailand? And for us, it was, this is a huge vision that we have. And God started saying, well, what about the whole world? How can we reach the whole world to publication of the Bible? And that's how the editor came to be, because we want to give the Bible in every language to every world, and we want to record this so that nobody is missed. The idea is not to have a celebration of, oh, we have 1 million people getting the Bible. The idea is to see the map and see, okay, who's missing, and go there. That's why we do recording of Bible distribution. And that's how Share Bibles started. And then education, we have this reader where people can go through the Bible. There are 365 passages or sections of the Bible, and they can go through it with other people and not only stop there, but think of the implications. What I just read, how can I apply? How can I be transformed by the words that I'm reading? And motivation. Sometimes there are many nations that have translation. They don't need translation. They have Bible published in their own language. They have them there, stored in their house. They don't need distribution. They don't need even education. They know how to read and write. They can read the Bible and understand, but there is no motivation. And that's something that we are passionate to. It's motivating people into engaging with the Word of God in a way that will transform not only their lives, but the nation, the neighborhoods they are surrounded by. And so from the very beginning, we also have been involved in the School of Biblical Studies. That was actually the main reason why we went to Thailand, to establish that school. And in the school, we studied the Bible, the whole Bible, 9 months, each book of the Bible. And this has been a commitment of our hearts from the very beginning. And we still do that today. 2 weeks ago, I was actually teaching through Zoom to a group of people that are in an underground church in Southeast Asia. And it's like these three students in a roof hiding, and I'm like connecting with them through a Zoom call, and we're going through the Gospel of John, learning and, you know, getting fully in love with Jesus. And this is something that we constantly do. And now I think Zoom has opened doors for us to go even bigger. Like, it's not just this, but the whole world. How do we make the whole world have the Bible accessible to them?
So as we share this vision, it's not our vision. It's not Robin Tsai's vision. Mm-hmm. It's God's vision. For this generation to be the first Bible-filled generation, where every language on earth would have his word translated into it, where every person on earth would have access to his word, not only to read it, but to understand it and to apply it and to see their lives, their families, and their societies totally transformed by the gospel of Jesus Christ.
How many times have we heard say there are Bible-less people and we need to reach and we need to do something, but it's years past and nothing. Like, we'll never come to that completion of every language on earth. And we believe that by 2033, during our generation, every language on earth will have a portion of the Bible in their own language.
So I want to encourage you to begin as we began, by praying. And we can start by saying, God, I pray that you would end Bible poverty now. But it's another way to pray, to say, God, how can I help? Sometimes when we pray, it's just us speaking. And we need to take some time to listen. And he's going to give you ideas. He's going to show you people to partner with. He's going to show you ways that you've never thought of. It could be that your coworker from another nation speaks a language that yet has no Bible. It could be that you know a missionary that is working towards ending Bible poverty and you can support them to do it. It could be that your neighbor doesn't have a Bible and you are going to choose, I'm going to get a Bible for them. I'm going to distribute it to their house. There are so many ways that each of us can be involved in ending Bible poverty. And God is really inviting all of us to join with him in this generation, in this time, to end Bible poverty now. We want to share just a little bit of ourselves with you this morning as we shared our hearts and what God has been doing in our lives, our journey, our prayers, and the ways that we've walked out what we believe is obedience to God's leading. And we want to invite you also to partner with us. We're ending Bible poverty, and we need the support of the church behind us. Thank you.